From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello VOA listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, diplomatic corner, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voanews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 475 kHz.
Here is the news first headlines. President Joko Widodo arrives in Washington, D.C. to meet Joe Biden. Indonesia and seven other countries mandated to halt war in Gaza. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news where the Indonesian President Joko Widodo arrived in Washington, D.C., United States on Sunday, local time, or Monday, Indonesia time, to meet with U.S. President Joe Biden. The president's plane landed at Andrews Military Base in Washington, D.C., as quoted by Antara from a statement from the Indonesian Presidential Secretariat received on Monday. President Joko Widodo was greeted by United States Acting Chief of Protocol, Ethan Rosenzweig. Upon arrival at hotel, the president was greeted by the Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment at Interim, Erick Thohir, the Minister of Education, Culture, Research and Technology, Nadiem Makarim, and the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Arifin Tasrif. In Washington, D.C., President Joko Widodo is scheduled to meet U.S. President Joe Biden at the White House. The president has said that he will voice Indonesia's firm position regarding the situation in Gaza Strip, Palestine, and convey the result of the OIC Extraordinary Conference to him. During the Joint Arab-Islamic Extraordinary Summit concluded in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, on Saturday, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, OIC, and Arab League have assigned the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, and seven other member countries to initiate immediate international action to formulate an international move to halt the war in Gaza Strip, Palestine. The resolution that the OIC and Arab League member countries adopted also assigned the two secretaries general to join the foreign ministers. Minister Retno Marsudi said that the paragraph 11 of the resolution indicates recognition of Indonesia's relentless efforts to resolve the Palestinian issues, including the current situation in Gaza.
Paragraph 11 ini merupakan pengakuan dari OKI terhadap
Paragraph 11 is an acknowledgement from the OIC of Indonesia's active contribution in continuing to resolve the Palestinian issues, especially the recent situation in Gaza. Minister Marsudi opined that the resolution contained 31 unequivocal and strong messages that reflected the OIC and Arab League's resolution to put an immediate end to the brutal Israeli aggressions against the Palestinian people in Gaza Strip and West Bank. In addition to Indonesia, the member states whose foreign ministers were also assigned included Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Egypt, Qatar, Turkey, Nigeria, and Palestine, as well as any other interested countries. The Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs succeeded in evacuating a family of Indonesian citizens out of the Gaza Strip, Palestine. This was stated by Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno Marsudi, as she reported on her way to Washington, D.C., United States, with Indonesian President Joko Widodo on Sunday, in a Ministry of Foreign Affairs official statement. According to the report she received at the evening Indonesia time, the Indonesian family, consisting of a husband Hussein, one wife, and two children, were already in Egypt with the evacuation team from the Indonesian embassy in Cairo and were going to Egypt's capital to prepare to be flown to Indonesia.
Saat ini beliau-beliau ini sudah berada di wilayah Mesir.
Currently, they are already in Egyptian territory and are with the Indonesian embassy in Egypt's evacuation team.
Next, they will be taken to Cairo and will be prepared to return to Indonesia.
Minister Ratno further said that despite the quite long and difficult evacuation process, her side continued to make maximum efforts. She also said that with their successful evacuation, there were three Indonesians living around the Indonesian hospital who had decided to remain in Gaza. Her ministry continues to communicate with the three Indonesians and Medical Emergency Rescue Committee Mercy Organization representative in Jakarta to ensure that they are in good condition. Indonesian President Joko Widodo and his Turkish counterpart Recep Tayyip Erdogan reached an agreement to jointly support the Palestinian people in their struggle for independence. This was reached during a bilateral meeting on the sidelines of the Joint Arab-Islamic Extraordinary Summit in Riyadh on Saturday, according to a statement from the presidential's office on Sunday. President Joko Widodo said that they agreed to remind the world of the urgency to resolve the root cause of the problems by realizing a two-state solution. He urged member countries of the OIC to unite and make utmost efforts to press for a ceasefire and humanitarian pauses for Palestinian people in Gaza Strip, currently under the siege of Israeli forces. He affirmed that Indonesia would use all available channels to voice justice and humanity for the people of Palestine. In addition to discussing the recent conditions in Gaza, the two leaders also used their meeting to push for accelerating negotiations on the finalization of the Indonesia-Turkey Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement. Let's move on to the international news, where the Chinese and Pakistani navies are holding week-long drills in the Arabian Sea days after the Russian Pacific Fleet and Myanmar practiced repelling attacks in their first maritime exercise. As reported by Reuters, at the naval base in Karachi, Pakistan on Saturday, both navies kicked off the exercise in the waters and airspace of the Northern Arabian Sea in drills that include anti-submarine operation. During the exercise, China and Pakistan will conduct joint maritime patrols for the first time, the People's Liberation Army Daily reported on Monday. The exercise, which will end on Friday, follows that Moscow describes as the first Russian-Myanmar's naval exercise in modern history, held from November 7 to 9 in the Andaman Sea on the northeastern Indian Ocean, a milestone for Russia's naval presence in a sea that the United States counts as one of its global security interests. Two large Russian anti-submarine ships conducted exercises with a frigate and a corvette of Myanmar's navy, according to Interfax news agency last week. The European Union, EU, has condemned an escalation of violence in Sudan's Darfur region, warning of the danger of another genocide after the conflict there between 2003 to 2008 killed some 300,000 people and displaced more than 2 million people. A war since April between the Sudanese army and Rapid Support Forces, or RSF paramilitary, has destabilized the western region and reignited long shimmering feuds there. As reported by Arab News, European Union's chief diplomat Joseph Borrell cited in a statement witness reports that more than 1,000 members of the Masalit community were killed in Ardamta, West Darfur, in just over 2 days during attacks by the RSF and affiliated militia. Borrell claimed that the killings are seemingly part of a wider ethnic cleansing campaign conducted by the RSF to eradicate a Masalit community from West Darfur. On Thursday, the International Organization for Migration said around 700 people were reportedly killed in West Darfur after clashes between the Sudanese army and RSF in El Janania on November 4th and 5th. U.S. President Joe Biden wants to reestablish military-to-military ties with China. White House National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan said on Sunday, days before the president and the Chinese leader are set to meet. Biden will meet Chinese President Xi Jinping in person for the first time in a year on Wednesday during the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC Summit in San Francisco. It will be only the second in-person meeting between the two leaders since Biden took office in January 2021. In an interview with CBS, Sullivan said that for the sake of the U.S. national security interests, they need communication with China so that there aren't mistakes, miscalculation, or miscommunication. He also said that restored military ties could take place at every level from senior leadership to the tactical operational level. A senior U.S. official said to Reuters that the Biden-Xi meeting
is expected to cover global issues, from the recent war in Palestine, Russia's invasion of Ukraine, Taiwan, economic relations, to artificial intelligence. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on President Joko Widodo meets with the President of the United States, Joe Biden, in Washington, D.C. I'm Dalat Pane. Indonesian President Joko Widodo met with the President of the United States, Joe Biden, at the White House to discuss the regional security and environmentally friendly energy transition on Monday, November 13. President Joko Widodo left for Washington from Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, after attending Islamic State Cooperation Organization OIC summit meeting on Sunday, November 12. President Jokowi will also attend the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation APEC Summit in San Francisco on November 15 to 17. In a press statement at Juanda Airport before flying to Riyadh on Friday evening, President Joko Widodo explained that the meeting with President Joe Biden was a good opportunity to voice Indonesia's firm position regarding the Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, White House spokesperson Karine Jean-Pierre explained that the two leaders would discuss ways to uphold international law and ensure a free and open Indo-Pacific region. He said President Biden would reaffirm the United States' commitment to strengthen the partnership that has lasted for nearly 75 years between the world's second and third largest democracies. Karine Jean-Pierre said the two leaders would also explore opportunities to increase cooperation in the transition to green energy, advance economic prosperity, strengthen regional peace and stability. Indonesia is the largest country in Southeast Asia and an important regional partner for Washington. Although China is Indonesia's main economic partner, it has been a big buyer of U.S. arms, and regional experts expect the two sides to discuss improving security ties at meetings this week in Washington. On Monday last week, British international business daily Financial Times quoted President Jokowi as calling on the United States and other Western countries to channel $20 billion U.S. dollar pledge to finance Indonesia's green energy transition and step up measures to support the important minerals industry in Indonesia. Business news agency quoted President Joko Widodo in an interview as saying there was tremendous concern in Indonesia over the funding delay. Washington and its G7 partners a year ago pledged funds to help speed up the green energy transition. These include the closure of coal-fired power plants in Indonesia and Vietnam. However, plans to reduce coal use in Indonesia and Vietnam with financial support from Western donor countries did not go smoothly. This could impact the prospects of wealthy countries helping less well-off countries to switch to greener energy, even though this is one of the main priorities of the Biden administration. Hopefully, President Joko Widodo's visit to the United States this time will bring the expected results. Indonesia can convey its political position regarding the Gaza issue firmly. On the other hand, the energy transition policy will continue well. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Niko Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Let's begin today in history with an event on November 13, 1990 when the World Wide Web, WWW, was created. The first World Wide Web, or WWW page, was made on November 13, 1990. At that time, the WWW was the only way to view the web. Now, these three letters often appear when you access a website in a web browser. WWW is a method for displaying information online through text, images, sound, and interactive video. One of its benefits is that it allows you to link one document or hypertext to another through the web. Information presented over the web is built with semi-programmed languages. Let's move on to November 13, 1988, when the Semanggi 1 tragedy killed 17 civilians. The Semanggi tragedy of November 13, 1988 refers to two incidents of public protests against the implementation and agenda of the NPR special session, which resulted in civilian death. First incident, known as the Semanggi 1 tragedy, occurred on November 11-13, 1998, during the transitional government of Indonesia, which caused the death of 17 civilians. The second incident, known as the Semanggi 2nd tragedy, occurred on September 24, 1999, which caused the death of a student and 11 other people throughout Jakarta and caused 217 injuries. We end today in history with November 13, 2015, when an armed terror attack in Paris killed 150 civilians. Armed terror attack in several locations in the city of Paris, France, were reported to have killed at least 150 people on Friday, November 13, 2015. Parisians had been asked to stay indoors by then, and around 1,500 personnel had been deployed across the city. The deadly attack appears to have targeted the Bataclan concert hall. It has said 6 to 8 hostages takers were entering the building. The perpetrators took about 60 people hostage inside the building. In addition, 3 other explosions were heard near the Stade de France stadium hosting a France-Germany friendly match.
Spending all my time lying down here by your side. We will never be apart. And if I could, I'd love you more. I can't explain how I adore to look upon this precious work of art. 'Cause I've been searching for a long time and traveled so far. When I found you, I was home again. It feels right. It feels right.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled President Joko Widodo calls for a united OIC to resolve the Gaza crisis. Indonesian President Joko Widodo called on the Organization of Islamic Cooperation OIC to unite and be at the forefront of resolving the crisis in Gaza, Palestine. President Joko Widodo conveyed it at the Extraordinary High-Level Conference or Summit of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Saturday. As shown on the YouTube account at Presidential Secretariat, the President said that Indonesia supports holding the OIC Summit to produce concrete things so that Israeli atrocities in Gaza can be stopped immediately. When speaking before the leaders of Islamic countries, President Joko Widodo made concrete suggestions, among others, urging an immediate ceasefire. Without a ceasefire, the situation will not improve. He added that Israel has used the narrative of self-defense and continues to kill civilians. This is nothing but collective punishment. The OIC must find a way to immediately implement a ceasefire. President Joko Widodo also encouraged humanitarian aid to be accelerated and expanded in scope. He added, considering that the humanitarian situation in Gaza is very worrying, the OIC must propose a more predictable and sustainable assistance mechanism. The president also called on the OIC to hold Israel accountable and urge peace negotiation to be carried out immediately.
Yang ketiga, OKI harus menggunakan semua lini untuk menuntut pertanggungjawaban Israel terhadap kekejaman kemanusiaan yang telah dilakukan.
The OIC must use all fronts to hold Israel accountable for the humanitarian atrocities it has committed. For example, urging the granting of access to the Independent International Commission of Inquiry on the Occupied Palestine Territory, which was formed by the United Nations Human Rights Council to carry out its mandate, continuing to support the advisory opinion process at the International Court of Justice. The OIC must urge peace negotiations to restart immediately in order to realize a two-state solution and reject the idea of a one-state solution because Palestine will definitely be sacrificed. And if the mechanism is no longer reliable, then the OIC must encourage the peace negotiation process with new format, and Indonesia is ready to contribute to the peace negotiations. At the conclusion of his statement, President Joko Widodo said that with the permission of the OIC country leaders, he would convey the results of the OIC Extraordinary Summit to the United States President Joe Biden. President Joko Widodo has been scheduled from Riyadh to make a bilateral visit to the United States. Meanwhile, in a meeting with Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas on Saturday, President Joko Widodo reiterated Indonesia's firm commitment to continuing to support Palestine optimally and concretely. The president said the heinous acts against Palestinian civilians in the West Bank were a serious violation of international law and humanitarian values. During the meeting, President Abbas said that Indonesia is one of the countries that consistently continues to support the struggle of the Palestinian people. That was My Indonesia Today.
Singkatku, padahal itu menyenangkanku. Di sini aku menantimu bersama waktu yang membunuhku, tapi kau tak pernah menyambutku. Kamu begitu indah, begitu cantik, begitu istimewa. Mungkinkah kamu jadi milikku selalu? Karena ku tak istimewa.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. VOI listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder takes you to Bengkulu, a province in Sumatra which is famous as the natural habitat of Rafflesia arnoldi, the largest flower in the world. One of the most popular tourist spots in Bengkulu is the beach. Apart from beaches, this province actually has other natural tourist destinations. One of them is waterfall, or known locally as Curug. The waterfall that is visited by many tourists is Curug Chai. The aesthetic appeal of this waterfall makes it worthwhile to visit. Listener, Curug Chai is located in Bukit Village, Talang 4 District, Central Bengkulu Regency, Bengkulu Province. You can travel overland from Bengkulu City to the location with a distance of around 25 kilometers with a travel time of 45 minutes. After arriving at the tourist location, to enter through the gate of the Curug Chai, you will be charged a parking fee of 2,000 rupiah per two-wheeled vehicle and 5,000 rupiah per four-wheeled vehicle. You also have to pay 2,000 rupiah for the entrance to get to this tourist attraction. It is all less than $1. The journey doesn't end there. You have to walk back to the tourist location about 200 meters through local rubber plantations and 172 steps up to the waterfall area. Walking down these stairs is quite tiring because the slope is up to 45 degrees. After arriving at the tourist destination, you will be amazed by the beauty of Curug Chai. This waterfall is about 12 meters high. Around it, towering trees still grow, which makes the atmosphere here very chill. Curug Chai has a pool measuring 15 to 20 meters with a water depth of around 3 meters. You can jump directly into this waterfall pool to feel the freshness of the water. Besides swimming under the waterfall pool, don't forget to take pictures from every corner of the beauty of Curug Chai. If you start to get tired, you can sit on the seat provided. The seats are made of bamboo. There are two quite large seats. One seat is in a tree, precisely above the waterfall. It measures 2 meters and is very sturdy. From above, you can see beautiful natural views. Curug Chai provides facilities such as a prayer room, stall selling food, and places to change clothes. So don't worry if you shower there and want to change clothes because there are facilities provided. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Selalu mencintaimu.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Festival Pesona Mentawai. Festival Pesona Mentawai, which means Pesona Mentawai Festival. So stay tuned. We're going to present to you a conversation entitled Mereka Sangat Pemberani. Mereka Sangat Pemberani, which means they are so brave. This conversation happens between Chris George Robinson, a vlogger from Australia, and a female tourist guide on Siberut Island, Mentawai Islands, and Chris shows his feeling about the character of a young man who is practicing archery at the Mentawai Traditional Archery Festival. Let's listen to the conversation.
Mereka memakai busur panah tradisional Mentawai.
Mereka sangat pemberani. Busurnya saja setinggi tubuhnya.
Iya, anak-anak itu berlatih memanah untuk berburu sejak kecil.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of the day. I'm going to say each word two times and you can repeat after me. Mereka, mereka, which means they. Sangat pemberani, which means so brave. Mereka sangat pemberani, which means they are so brave. Busur panah, which means bow. Tradisional, which means traditional. Setinggi tubuhnya, which means as tall as the body. Anak-anak, which means children. Berlatih, which means practice. Memanah, which means archery. Berburu, which means hunting. Sejak kecil, which means since childhood. In the conversation, you hear the sentence Mereka sangat pemberani, which means they are so brave. The expression is an affirmation of the sentence Mereka memakai busur panah tradisional Mentawai. Mereka memakai busur panah tradisional Mentawai, which means they use Mentawai traditional bow. In the expressions, there is the word pemberani, which means brave. It shows the character of the Mentawai tribe. Let's listen to the other examples of using the word that shows a character. Penakut, which means coward. Chris bukan penakut, which means Chris is not coward. Penyabar, which means patient. Sinta, seorang pemandu wisata yang penyabar, which means Sinta is a patient tourist guide. At Pesona Mentawai Festival, there is Mentawai Traditional Archery Festival. In the archery festival, the activities are archery competition and poisonous arrow attraction. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Mereka memakai busur panah tradisional Mentawai.
Mereka sangat pemberani. Busurnya saja setinggi tubuhnya.
Iya, anak-anak itu berlatih memanah untuk berburu sejak kecil.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa. You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. The next segment is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOA listener, in today's music corner, I'm going to present a keroncong song entitled Keroncong Cincin by Kus Plus. The song was released in 1974. It was sung by Tony Kuswoyo, and it's one of the songs in the 10th volume of Kus Plus. Kus Plus was established in 1969, replacing the band of Kus Bersaudara. The group was very popular in the 1970s. The song tells about a valuable object that a man gives to his lover to show his love. This object is a ring that never leaves the lover's finger in every situation, whether happy or sad. Well, listener, here is Kus Plus with the song Keroncong Cincin. Enjoy!
Lihatlah di jarima
Voice of Indonesia.
Tak dapat ku sangsikan, ternyata dirinya lah yang mengerti kamu, bukanlah diriku. Kini maafkanlah aku bila ku menjadi bisu kepada dirimu. Bukan santunku terbungkam, hanya hatiku berbatas untuk mengerti kamu. Maafkanlah aku.
Listener, wherever you are, that's our programs on the English program from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any comments, suggestion, criticism, any feedback for Voice of Indonesia, just drop us a line through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at VOI_official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok at VOI_official and YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Rahma signing out. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.